Blog Talk Radio.
Live on Blog Talk Radio, in cooperation with Scout.com, WarNest.com, and Frat House Sports, this is Inside the War Nest, the show made by Philadelphia Eagles fans for Philadelphia Eagles fans. Have a comment or question? Call us live on the air, 347-826-9964. That's 347-826-9964. And now, to take you through the week that was and the week to come in Eagles football, here are your armchair generals, Jim Williams and Mike McShane, inside the War Nest. To quote that great philosopher, Carl Winslow from Family Matters, 3-2-1, 1-2-3. What the heck is bothering me? Glares over at 53 people dressed in midnight green on a cold Sunday in Lambeau Field, points in their general direction and yells, "You!" Welcome to Inside the War Nest, presented by WarNest.com, Scout.com, and Frat House Sports. To laugh, to keep from crying. That's my motto. That's my MO. Good evening, everybody. I'm Jim Williams. We've got ourselves a stacked show this week. We're going to recap, yes, we're going to, and rehash the Eagles' loss. No. Drubbing. No. Massacre at Lambeau Field. I think those are all the appropriate descriptions to describe what happened in Green Bay this past weekend. If you have any other adjectives, nouns, or describers to explain what happened that not so fateful Sunday, by all means, let us know. And we'll tell you how you can let us know in a moment. We'll be also joined by Greg Arias. Greg works for TitanRedZone.com. We'll go behind enemy lines. He also works with 102.5 The Game in Nashville. So he's a radio guy, our first radio broadcaster to join us on the program. That's kind of exciting. He'll take us behind enemy lines to talk a little bit about the game this coming weekend against the Tennessee Titans. You'll want to listen in for that, I might add. And there's plenty more to go along the way. We might even have a game of Is This Anything to help you, our loyal fan, have some, to help you out with what stories we should be concerned with and what stories we should not be concerned with over the course of the week. Is This Anything? We might have that coming up a little bit later on in the show. We're trying to get my co-host Mike McShane in. He's having some technical issues. Blog Talk Radio and technical issues. I remember these days well when I was with CLW83 on BTR. Mike's trying to connect with us. He will be with us shortly, I assure you. But in the meantime, you can join me right now through the interwebs, through the telephone lines, through the chat room. It is 347-826-9964. 347-826-9964. That's how you get in touch with me. If you're an Eagles fan listening in on this Wednesday night, the 19th of November, 2014, tell me what you're feeling after what you saw Sunday night. Do you take the team down a peg like Ron Jaworski did on local radio this week? Are they a second-tier playoff team? Do you still have faith in Mark Sanchez? Does he still have what it takes to lead this team to the playoffs and maybe a step or two beyond the playoffs? What about the running game? What about LeSean McCoy? Where do you weigh in on him? Another question for your pondering or consideration. What about the defense? They are the walking wounded here in Philadelphia. The special teams, or rather the defensive secondary, again, I've said it a number of times, I'll say it again, I know midget football teams that play better secondary, better coverage than the Eagles this season. We'll talk about all those things and more with you at 347-826-9964. You can also join us on the Skype link. There's a little button, you click the Skype button, and you patch into me, and that's kind of nice. It's kind of exciting. And we'll talk on there. We also have our chat room open. We had a couple of issues with the chat room earlier this evening. We just got it up right before the show started, knock on wood. So you can join us via that as well if you're signed in, or even if you're a guest on Blog Talk Radio. Free to sign up, though. You might as well sign up. What the hey, right? So we'd love to hear from you in our chat room. If you have a question for me, a comment for me, if you have a question or a comment perhaps for our guest Greg Arias from Tight End Red Zone, he'll be joining us around 7:30. So get in on the action. In fact, now as soon as I say that, the server on the chat is reconnecting. So it's a banner night on Blog Talk Radio. I think we've got Mike in. Frat House Mike, are you there?
Oh, I'm glad to hear there weren't just problems on my side.
No, I mean, literally, listen, I worked
you
with
were having
Talk
trouble
Radio
over there.
Ago.
Yeah.
Yep. Chat was being a little bit problematic, but we're glad we have you here. I think, quite frankly, maybe it was an omen of sorts because it's been that kind of week for the Eagles, a not so very good week for Philadelphia. Let's break it down a little bit. I mean, the simple way to break it down is they sucked. That's the simple way to put it. But let's get a little more complex. Let's break it down a little bit more. What went wrong first in Philadelphia, for Philadelphia, at Lambeau Field Sunday?
Wow, what went wrong first? Well, first of all, let's get this one straight. They didn't show up for the first quarter. I mean, it was 17-0 going into the second quarter. You know, if we're gonna, there's going to be people that are going to disagree with me. They didn't get the run game, Jim, in my opinion, going early enough. That's what they needed to do. They got it going. I mean, it got going. Look, McCoy had 23 carries. Still, he's only getting 3.8 yards carry. So they did get some carries going, and they needed to be going at that a lot earlier in this game than they actually did. And we knew that, and that was one of the things we had talked about right here on this program last week, is if they got that going early, they potentially might have had a chance at striking Green Bay early enough. Look, Green Bay was, what did we say last week, 30th, I believe, against the run. So this was another team. This was another team again, second week in a row we're coming in against, where we should have been able to run against them, and yet, you know, it just didn't materialize. I don't know what's going on with the run game. You heard Chip Kelly's press conference on Monday, the day after. He kind of passes it off and just simply says, well, nobody's running well. Well, wait a minute. That's not an answer coming from the head coach. I'm not satisfied with that.
Understandably so. That's coach speak at its finest, Michael. I mean, you can't fault the offensive line anymore because they're mostly healthy. It comes to the point where you have to lay blame on the man himself, and the man in this case is LeSean McCoy. Don't let the stats fool you, friends. Okay, 88 yards is not a horrible day on the ground, but most of that was ex post facto. It was coming in after the fact when the game was more than well in hand and the defense was not even playing at full strength. There's something wrong, and I've said this for weeks on this show, and you know this, Mike. Something ain't right with Shady, and I really think it's a mentality thing. Let me ask you this. Do you think the acquisition of Darren Sproles has affected the psyche of McCoy? Because McCoy last season, make no bones about it, was the man for the backfield. Now he's not the man. Quite frankly, you could make an argument that Sproles should be the starting back right now.
Well, you had asked me that question a couple of weeks ago right here. And I'm going to be honest with you. I'm no better at answering it today than I was at that point. I don't know. You know, look, I've looked at it this way. We had heard going into the season, Jim, if you recall, it was either going into the season or it might have been game one or game two, but it was early in the season, where McCoy was had actually pulled himself out of a couple of practices with turf toe. All right. Is that a nagging problem? You know, if it is, I think we as a fan base just want to hear it. You can talk to me all you want about Sproles. You can say that McCoy is the problem here. I got to ask this question. If Sproles, and we have seen it, and we as a fan base are asking for it, get Sproles in the action more, get Sproles in the action more, and yet two carries to him, and the head coach wants to stand there on Monday and say, well, the whole team is not running well. wait a minute, where's the game plan for Darren Sproles when he's only getting two touches? I don't
get it. The answer is there is no game plan. That's what it comes down to. Chip Kelly, one of the more interesting things he said in his press conference today is that people often confuse, in his eyes, what the offense and the implementation he's running in Philadelphia with what he ran in Oregon. He says they're two completely different offenses. I don't know that I buy that, because if I'm not mistaken, didn't he throw the ball more times than not when he was at Oregon?
Well, he ran the ball an awful lot, too. Now, you know something? I buy him a little bit on when he talks that way. I do buy it a little bit. And I buy it when he'll stand there and say, you know, I'm going to dictate the offense to the players I have. I'm not going to make the players fit into the offense. I'm going to make the offense fit to what I've got. And to that extent, so far he has been correct, with one exception. And that is that so far in this particular year, we're not seeing the running game.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it's a combination, perhaps maybe, of a couple of things, Jim. I think it might be a combination of what you're saying, which is there might be a problem with McCoy, but I also think that there's an awful lot of blame that has to be laid at the feet of the offensive play calling.
You would blame Pat Shurmur. You would blame Chip Kelly.
Chip Kelly himself, correct.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And going back to a point you made, if indeed McCoy has been playing through a turf toe injury, he's doing himself not one favor in the world by not letting us know, and by the coaching staff not being open and letting us know. It's been bandied about in press conferences, what you've said in the past. And it's just, I understand there's something to be said for pride. I really, really do. But call a spade a spade. If you're hurt, if you're down, if you're not doing well, you know, dare I say it, he could afford to take a week off this week, quite possibly, to heal himself up for Thursday. But who's to say it's going to make that big a difference with a short week turnaround? But it's certainly perplexing. It's making one scratch their head.
Yeah, and don't do it to hurt the team. And see, this is where I'm surprised that the coaching staff, if they're aware, let's just say for a moment, you know, and look, this is all hypothesis at this moment.
Exactly.
Let's just say for a moment that there is an issue, a physical issue with LeSean McCoy. Let's say the coaching staff is aware of it. Well, if they're playing this game this way, then that's wrong. What they ought to be doing is standing up and saying to him, look, if we're going to use you, we're going to use you in a limited capacity. Darren, you're up. And that's what we got to do. But they're not doing that. They're not doing that, and I don't get it.
When you have these two players, you know, and nobody mistakes that McCoy is still a top-tier running back. He absolutely is, when healthy and when in the right mindset. Darren Sproles has come back and found the fountain of youth. It's almost a thunder-lightning kind of thing, if you will, that we potentially have in the backfield. And Chip Kelly's not utilizing it to its full potential. It's perplexing and it's mind-numbing, quite frankly.
Yes, it is.
So, there you go.
Yep.
Let's talk about the other back. And I'm not talking running back. I'm talking quarterback. Oh, boy. That's the fun begin. Now, remember, about a week ago, we were anointing Mark Sanchez. Not really anointing, but I say this half-heartedly, folks. Take a joke. No problem. You know, he's going to be great. It's going to be all right. It's going to be awesome. You know, we'll be fine. Mike, what happened in Green Bay with Mark Sanchez is nothing short of a 180. And one of my friends, Andy Sturm, based out of Indiana. I'll give him a quick Indianapolis.
Yep.
Hey, I'll give him a quick plug because he does a great soccer podcast called the NASLcast, the NASLcast. And Andy rightly said, on Sunday, the Packers brought back their throwback uniforms. The Eagles brought the throwback version of Mark Sanchez from the Jets. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty apt. What happened with Sanchez, and will the real Mark Sanchez please stand up, please stand up, please stand up?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Well,
but they are who we thought they were.
Well, that's it. I mean, that's exactly what it came down to. At least that's what everybody's saying. He is what we thought he was, right? Look, here's where I sit on it. Here's where I'm going to come down on it. We talked about this right before Mark Sanchez went in, Jim, that for every touchdown he throws, he's going to throw an interception. Okay? What do you do on Sunday? He threw two touchdowns. He threw two interceptions. There it is. Yeah, I can live with Mark Sanchez if our guys are going to outscore the other guys. All right? I can live with it. We know what he is. We know what we're going to get. We were asking him basically to do one thing, drive the car. Don't get in an accident. Just drive the car without getting in an accident. That's all you got to do. I'm not ready to, you know, like so many Philadelphia fans, I'm not ready to, you know, go screaming for Nick Foles. So let's get him back earlier. You know,
more on that later in the show, by the way.
Oh, I know. Exactly. And I'm not going to be one that's going to be start screaming that, you know, Mark Sanchez, get him, you know, throw him out. Let's get Barkley. I mean, come on. Let's get it straight. This is a doable situation. We're 7-3. Mark Sanchez should be able to drive the car. And I'm frankly, all right. What did we get on Sunday? What did we get on Sunday? We got a typical Mark Sanchez performance.
We got a guy who, if asked to parallel park, parks perpendicular instead.
And it wasn't, look, it wasn't horrible. I've seen worse. But it wasn't enough because there were just too many other things that were going wrong in this game. All right?
You've had the stat line, yeah. Four turnovers total of the game. Yeah.
Okay. Of which, what, they got three touchdowns off of us, right? There was a special teams touchdown and two defensive touchdowns. Well, right there, look, I'm going to tell you, put that in any box score anywhere. Put that in a Denver Broncos box score. Put that in a New England Patriots box score, and you're looking at a losing team. If you've got a special teams touchdown and two defensive touchdowns. So right there, the game's over.
They followed the Eagle blueprint, if you want to be technical.
Exactly. And those were in my notes, right? They turned the tables on us because that's the kind of thing we've been expecting and have been seeing from the Philadelphia Eagles this year.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's been the special teams and defense that has saved Philadelphia's bacon more times than not this season. And it turned about fair play at times.
Right.
So you want to bring up something when it comes to this game, Mike, that I think is kind of a valid concern. Some people who listen to sports talk radio in the Delaware Valley, the greater Philadelphia area, are literally jumping out of the fifth-story balconies, if not higher, in some of the skyscrapers over the loss. But you looked at the schedule way back when, and you eyeball a trip to Lambeau in mid to late November in the frozen tundra. Didn't we kind of peg this as it was going to be a tough road to hoe?
Yeah, well, this is the beauty of the Philadelphia fan base. You know, let's turn the clock back a year ago. All right, Chip Kelly's coming in. It's a brand new regime. We're coming off of a 4-12 season, right? And everybody's sitting there going, "Well, the Eagles. Come on. What are they going to be? They're going to be 6-10." Well, if they're 6-10, we're okay. Well, hey, they turned out to be 10-6 when they made the playoffs. Suddenly, all of our expectations, Philadelphia fans, our expectations can change in a blink of an eye. Suddenly, this team is 7-2. We're going to Green Bay. And really, folks, did you people really believe that the Philadelphia Eagles were somehow going to win this? Now, look, Jim, you and I talked about it. And we said, hey, if it happened, it would be the biggest statement game of the entire season. Pack your bags for Arizona. Book those plane tickets and get those game tickets. We're going to the Super Bowl. But I think both you and I realized, even last week at this time, it was a lot of hope, but not much expectation on our part that they were actually going to do this. There's a lot of Philadelphia fans out there that were expecting the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, here's I think the thing that really, really, you know, is the dagger in the heart. Is the score, the manner in which it was done. To lose by 33 points, that's embarrassing. I really did kind of expect it to be a bit closer.
Absolutely. We have a call coming in. The fun part of it is it's nothing but ones on the line. So let's take a little chance and see who this is.
Well, we'll take a chance, and guess what? Be ready to...
I have it on standby. Good evening. You're on Inside the War Nest.
Yeah, I see how you are. Zap the Colts fan. Hey, guys, it's Elwood.
Oh, well, never mind. No, because your number came up as nothing but one, so
well,
I wasn't able to.
Skype it is all one.
Oh, well, there you go. No problem. I'm
back
sorry.
Back in the bus
for
the Colts fans, I tell you.
No. You were in the chat. I was going to give you a shout-out.
I've got two buddies who have an Eagles show. Whenever I call it, they always leave me on hold. And then, you know, when everyone else talks, then I can come on. I said, I'm like the Rosa Parks of the radio world.
Well, we're more polite Philadelphia Eagles fans.
Yes, we're not going to throw batteries or snowballs at you. You're
no.
not Santa Claus.
Or boo, me,
okay,
boo my unconscious body and then call me Austin Collie. But
I like that line. Well played. Well played.
Oh,
what do you want to chat about?
I want to chat about. I got to talk to you, boys. I think a third party intercession here is indeed, because you're talking to a lifelong Colts fan, and I lived through the 2011 season, and we need to talk about having realistic expectations when you bring in the backup quarterback.
Okay, go ahead.
I lived through that. Now, guys, Peyton Manning got hurt. They had Curtis Painter, who has been his backup quarterback for years, who was the go-to man at training camp, who knew all the plays, who went in there and sucked. Curtis Painter has never won a game where he was the quarterback the majority of the time since he was at Purdue. So then they're like, let's go get Kerry Collins. So this old fossil comes hobbling into Lucas Oil. And we brought Gordon fish stick boxes and yelled, hey, Greybeard, and it sucked. And he sat on the bench for the rest of his season and cashed his large checks. And then that didn't work. So we brought in Dan Orlovsky, and he was going to become the next big thing. He was going to replace sliced bread. And by some miracle, he did win a game, which kept us from having a winless season. So for that, Dan Orlovsky, you'll always get a spot in my heart, but didn't work, and they tried all, and then we just decided to kick back and suck for luck, and it all worked out.
Tanky Michelotto, yeah.
Well, my God, Andrew Luck, if you're listening, you're my boy. But now look, guys, you got to be realistic. Nick Foles, I actually like Nick Foles, you know, for somebody who don't wear blue and white, he's pretty cool. And you're not. Mark Sanchez is not going to work. I mean, I've seen all these T-shirts. He's not. You can't have these crazy. We're still going to go to the Super Bowl with the backup. No, you're not. The Jets aren't stupid. They got rid of Sanchez for a reason. You know. So I think that you just
wait a minute. Did you just say the Jets aren't stupid? Oops. I'm sorry.
Yeah, they're not stupid. Come on, guys. We all want to think – it's like the government. We all want to think the government's idiots, but if you look back, they're not. I mean, you know, after 9/11, when they did all this stuff, you look back and you're like, yeah, I guess it was pretty smart to ground all the planes. I guess it was smart to instantly – you know, I mean, at the time you just think, you know. But anyway, here's the thing. You just kind of got to write this season off, because until Nick comes back, there's nothing they can do. Look, there's only like six guys on this whole planet that's an elite quarterback. And maybe 10 that are a good quarterback. This is a very, very narrow. I mean, I was thinking about it today, and there are only six guys on this whole planet I would call an elite quarterback currently playing. Maybe five. I mean, that's small. So it's not like there's a huge pool to get from. So you got to be realistic. You can't call in. There's no Kerry Collins. He can't save you. Curtis Painter can't save you. Dan Orlovsky can't save you. I mean, you know, somebody picked up Curtis Painter and they said, how do I feel about it? And I said, I'm loving it, because that means he can't come back to the Colts. So,
understandable. Well, that mullet was awesome.
You
come on. His mullet was awesome.
Hey, guys, I loved him up at Purdue. He used to go up there and watch him all the time. Good guy. I mean, like Drew Brees. Loved Drew Brees to death. My butt was up at Purdue every time I could to see Drew Brees play. But then once he went to the States, I hated him. But then he beat my boy Peyton in the Super Bowl, and I despise him. But
there you go.
Here's the thing, guys. Eagles fans got to sit back and think, you know, how can we turn this into a positive? And I think you guys should welcome Nick back, because I don't have – who else do you got? Who else, honestly, could they get?
The future of this team is not on this team yet. I've said that before.
No, I agree with you. But also, you got to be realistic. I called somebody, and they were saying, well, what do you think? Who should we get? And I was like, guys, this ain't Christmas. You don't sit down with your piece of paper and write down what you want and give it to Santa, and it shows up. This is the NFL. There's very few people.
It's not like Major League Baseball, where you can get somebody at the trade deadline like crazy, and it's wheeling and dealing time.
But Well, to some aspects you can in football, but not in the QB position. There are
people out there
who, you know, the lower the better, you know. I mean, like kickers. Come on. I know quite a few guys.
Who doesn't love a good – or punters.
Adam Vinatieri's in his 40s, and he does a phenomenal job. So, I mean, it's not the world's most strenuous job, you know. And,
sure.
And to some extent, punt. I mean, there are other – you know, I mean, unless you're – what's his name? Oh, they got this – Trent Richardson. I mean, he's horrible. You know, and he was the number one pick at that slot at the time. So, what? But I'm saying the Eagles can work within it, but the quarterback is key. The quarterback is like a second coach. He's the team. He's everything. You know,
he's your perceived leader. And we said it on the show last week. I don't know if you were listening or not. Or at least I was saying this. I don't think anybody in their right frame of mind expected Mark Sanchez to be a superstar here.
Right.
Nobody in their right frame of mind expected that. We just need him to, for lack of better terms, facilitate, to give to the running game, to occasionally throw a touchdown here or there, and not make too many mistakes. He didn't make too many mistakes against a horrible Carolina team. He made more than a few mistakes against a damn good Green Bay team this past weekend.
But don't
you
think
the whole team
because
did.
He came off good, Eagles fans got a false – because that first game where Martin Sanchez was – I think you got a false picture or like, hey, this is all going to work out. This is great. This is sliced bread. I thought, hey, all right.
Well, but you know what? I wouldn't just chalk it up to any fan base. I would chalk it up to any fan base by and large as a whole that would have that kind of mentality. Of course, we here in Philadelphia, we go 180 very quickly.
Over. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
I mean, you guys don't have any Super Bowl rings, and we have two in two separate cities.
Oh, see, now you got to throw that in there.
Clap, clap, clap. I know.
Although Baltimore won't give back our trophy, but oh well. They did give you
a Mayflower van, which I thought was very.
The Mayflower vans are taking the Orioles away someday. They're really going to cry. But,
man, that would be horrific. I have a baseball podcast. We can talk about
I don't
that, want to
hear
that.
Don't,
yeah.
Oh, trust
but,
me, the city's scouting a team. You guys keep an eye on your baseball team because
there's a Triple A team there. Yeah.
Is RSA planning going over there to the O's and stealing them too?
It's possible. They're spotted. Hey, I think they should steal you guys because then we'd have the Colts and the Phillies. I mean,
start with me. 18
well,
something that we've been around.
Wait a minute, Mike. Who is the man doing all the moves in Philadelphia? Ruin Tomorrow Jr. Don't put it out of possible realm.
You guys are getting that downtown casino in Philly, and I think it's going to be a huge disaster. Maybe they'll go into horrible debt and have to sell Indy the Phillies.
Oh, my
God. Let's hope.
Because
we voted downtown casinos down here crazy. We said, I don't think so. No. And then I know it's Philadelphia. Yo, let's take them other casinos downtown.
I have a friend who works for one of the casinos in Philly, and it's, one too many.
There's a difference between a casino and a casino downtown.
It's like when the Phillies were going to build a ballpark in Chinatown. That didn't jive for one iota.
But you know what's great here in Indiana, out in Anderson? They lost all their GM industry, and they were going to put a casino there, and the state okayed it. And some farmers said, tell you what, I'll give you the middle of my farm to build the casino. It's yours for free, but I own all the land around it. And the state said, sounds good to us. So they built the casino there. And for the first few years before he sold off the property, you drove through a cornfield to get to our casino. And I was like, oh, yeah. So
there you
Indiana.
Go.
But eventually it got built up. I mean, the guy was pretty smart, but it was like funny the first few years. You're like, yeah, so I'm driving through a cornfield.
There you go. Elwood, we got to let you go because our guest is coming in on the line
right
now. But
is he
going to
talk
about
the Colts?
Well, we're going to talk about one of your division rivals, shall we say. The team in the Philadelphia is going to be facing this coming Sunday, the Tennessee Titans,
That's starting to get to be a rivalry here, but it's kind of like, You know what somebody from Philly said? They said that the rivalry is over between Indianapolis and New England because Peyton left. And I told that person, you're nuts. I still hate you people with a passion.
Oh, I don't know about that, yeah.
Oh, they're awful. Goodness. They said, they come in to Indy, you peoples ain't got this, you peoples ain't got that, you ain't got no seafood. I told this one guy, dude, why you want to come all the way out here to eat food you get when you're at home all the time anyways? He just stormed off. And he goes, seafood. And I said, then how come the best shrimp cocktail on planet Earth is in St. Elmo's in Indianapolis? He goes, he finally just walked off. But hey, guys, good show. I'll keep listening. Yeah, I'll try to get you guys added to the Twitter because my tweets are gold. So
your comments are gold, my friend.
Lance Stevens is on the Bobcats or whatever the heck they're called this week, and they're playing my Pacers. So I want to see my Pacers whoop old Lance for leaving.
Are they
back to the Bobcats? Aren't they? Or no, they're back to the Hornets.
They're the Hornets now. Yes, again.
Right,
and,
but they were Bobcats.
Remember,
and Hornets. I can't
remember,
keep
it could always be worse. You could be the 76ers, the Tankadelphia.
No, they Pacers whooped them. That was awesome. Okay, guys.
All right. Thanks, Elwood. We'll talk with you soon, my friend. Elwood joining us from Indianapolis here on Inside the War Nest. That was fun. That was fun.
Yes, indeed.
Now we have another person joining us, our scheduled guest. He is the man behind TitanRedZone.com, and this is a first for us on the program, my good friend Mike. We have a radio guy joining us. So
yeah, I know.
He's
going to show me up.
One,
I know that.
We've got one of my ilk now because, once upon a time I was in radio and now I'm here and the rest, they say, is history. Joining us from the Nashville area, Greg Arias. Good evening, Greg.
Good evening, guys, and thanks for having me in.
An absolute pleasure. An absolute pleasure, and thank you for offering to repay the favor for us. I'm going to be on your show, which we'll give a plug to before the end of this for sure, in just a little bit over on 102.5. The Game in Nashville. Let's talk a little bit about Monday Night Football because let me just say, for full clarification here, Greg, I'm in a survivor pool, a suicide pool by the 94 WIP here in Philadelphia has. I picked Pittsburgh to beat Tennessee. I was biting any fingernails I had left off of my fingers because it was a close game, a well-played game, really, by Tennessee, all things told, when on paper, Pittsburgh should have blown their doors off. Is there such a thing as a team with two wins getting a moral victory hanging in there with Pittsburgh?
Not at all, and I don't think that the players looked at it in that fashion, and certainly not from their comments and speaking with them. They're pleased with some of the things that they did, obviously. I mean, you have to take the good and recognize that, but most of the guys to a man have said, hey, we've still made mistakes. We've still got things to clean up. We're a long way from being a good football team, but we feel like we have the talent. And certainly I think that performance on Monday night showed a little bit of the ability that they have, though there's still some major gaping holes, actually, in this team in a lot of areas that they need to address.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Talk to me a little bit about your quarterback, Zach Mettenberger, he had great poise Monday night. And, you know, this is a franchise, as you well know, that's trying to find its way with a lot of young talent. I mean, Chris Johnson has come and gone, as far as I'm concerned. He used to be arguably the best back in the National Football League, CJ2K. You're lucky if you can get 1K from him over the course of 2 years now, sadly. I mean, his biggest weapon might be Delanie Walker, and that's a stretch at times. What are you seeing out of Mettenberger at quarterback?
Well, he obviously has the arm. You can go, as we do at practice every day, and certainly back during the summer more so, and just close your eyes and listen to the three quarterbacks when they're working on just quarterback-only drill and hear the guys catching the ball. And you can hear the sizzle and hear the pop and tell when he's throwing the football as compared to Charlie Whitehurst or Jake Locker. And so we know he's got the arm strength to do it, to throw any ball he wants. And he's got to grow, obviously, with the learning curve in the NFL to become a better quarterback as a pocket passer because he's a guy that's a one-spot quarterback. And when I say one spot, I mean he's going to take his drop, and that's where he's going to be in the pocket because he's not the most mobile guy. He's not going to move around a lot like Ben Roethlisberger and others are capable of doing. He's more like Peyton Manning in the sense of you know where he's going to be, and defenses can hone in on that. So he's got some things to learn with that, but he's progressing, and certainly I think he has the confidence in himself. I won't say arrogant because he's a really nice young man to talk to, but certainly he has that a little bit of cockiness about him that I think you need to play the position in the NFL. Now, if he can get the rest of his game and learn and develop and grow as he goes through the course of this year and into next year, we may have a little something there. The media here, to a man pretty much at this point, thinks that the Titans are on to something if he continues to grow.
Interesting. I was just about to ask you, Greg, whether Mettenberger was somebody that this team potentially maybe just took a flyer on, or are you hinging your future on him? I mean, what's the word from inside the team? And what's the word, too, from the fan base?
I think the fan base is kind of growing into it more. A lot of people wanted to see Mettenberger as the starter at the beginning of the year. They didn't have a lot of faith in Jake Locker being able to stay healthy, and obviously that was the case. And, you know, you kind of feel sorry for Jake because he is a heck of a nice guy. He has done everything right here other than just be able to stay healthy. But fans wanted Mettenberger. I don't know what the coaches are saying privately inside the building. You know, they don't come out and tell us a whole lot. Other than they're happy with where Zach Mettenberger is at this point and obviously needs to continue to grow. But I think that they got a guy, and, you know, you mentioned Take a Flyer. Yes, he was a sixth-round guy, but the knee injury that he suffered late last year at LSU certainly knocked him down a little bit in that. And, of course, he had the legal issues when he was at the University of Georgia and then left, went to JUCO, and then on to LSU.
Right.
So I think those two things were – more of the issue why he was a sixth rounder than his actual talent. Most people had him as a late second, maybe even early third round pick, you know, before those two things happened, or before the knee injury, actually. He had the issue at Georgia prior to that. But so I don't know that it was that much of a flyer as far as taking the kid just based on his talent. And right now it's paying off. Everybody seems fairly well pleased with where he is progress-wise, and it's just a matter of continue to grow.
You know, when you look at your roster offensively, this is not a bad team at all. I mean, you've got yourself very nice receivers. Wright, Walker, Nate Washington, you had Dexter McCluster coming in there on assignments when he needs to. You've addressed your running game with Sankey in the offseason. Next season, are we addressing the defense then? Is that where it's going to go?
Well, I certainly think that's part of the equation. If you look at the roster and look at the ages of the players, and no disrespect to these guys, but Cameron Wembley is getting up in years. Sean Phillips is getting up in years. Wesley Woodyard, even though he was a free agent brought in from Denver, is a little bit older. He's, I think, 31 right now, if memory serves. Avery Williamson, the rookie, is playing well. So I do think we're going to see a youth movement of sorts among the linebackers, certainly. They need some guys that can be outside linebackers that can get to the quarterback. Derek Morgan has done a little bit of a better job since he's moved to outside linebacker, but he's a guy that was drafted as a defensive end, and this is the final year of his contract, so it's kind of up in the air at this point. We've not really heard anything definitive from the team as to whether he will be re-signed or not, and certainly they could use some help at cornerback and at safety, where they're also a little long in the tooth there with Bernard Pollard having the Achilles injury and may or may not be able to return from that. Michael Griffin, George Wilson also both getting on up in years. And Griffin being a high-priced guy, he may be a cap casualty cut to save him a little space there. But I think the offensive side of the football they're wanting to address, because Nate Washington likely won't return next season because this is the final year of his contract and he's getting up in years a little bit. I think they might be looking to add a receiver at some point, and certainly probably some help on the offensive line. I think they're not really satisfied with what they're getting out of that at this point.
Interesting. You're talking about the secondary. Your team right now is ninth against the pass. They're 31st against the rush. This is the third week in a row. The Eagles are going to be going up against one of the lower-tiered teams against the rush. In both of those games previous, we've had no ground game at all. So, in one hand, you're kind of saying, well, that secondary is a little bit of a problem, yet you don't. Your defense isn't ranked bad against the pass. And your rush defense not as good, and yet the Eagles, I don't know, how's this team addressing the Eagles coming in?
Well, it's hard to tell because today, certainly with playing on Monday night, they didn't have a normal practice today. The guys were out in jerseys and had on hoodies and toboggans and those kind of things because it was fairly chilly here for us. I'm sure it's not what you guys have up there. But they didn't practice with helmets or pads today, and then tomorrow they will go back to a regular padded practice for Thursday and Friday. So we really don't know. It looked today like they were pretty much going through just their things that they normally do during the practice week, and I think maybe tomorrow we'll have a little bit better idea of what the game plan is, you know, going towards Philly. But certainly I know they talked about being concerned about the high tempo that Chip Kelly and the Eagles will bring at them, and I tell you, from watching this Titans team, I think that the Eagles will be able to run the football because certainly Dallas, and we know what DeMarco Murray has done, and he shredded them, and then we saw Le'Veon Bell the other night, and they've certainly had some other guys that have ran well against them. But it's a team, even though those pass numbers are high, I think that's kind of a little misleading because certainly early on Andy Dalton had his way when he wanted to throw, and Andrew Luck as well did the same. Of course, he's going to do that to a lot of people. But you kind of – can do what you want with the Titans, or certainly earlier on in the season where you could confuse them, and some of the teams didn't necessarily throw as much because they could run a little bit and didn't necessarily run as much because they could throw a little bit. So I think the defense has improved, but certainly not enough, I don't think, to be able to go into Philadelphia and get a win this weekend.
Okay. All right, kind of preluding the prediction. We always get a prediction from our guests. We'll get that from you officially in a couple of minutes. For those of you just tuning in, talking with Greg Arias from 102.5 The Game in Nashville, the ESPN Nashville station, and from TitanRedZone.com, our brothers, if you will, our cousin site, if you will, with Scout.com, Jim Williams and Mike McShane here on Inside the War Nest on Blog Talk Radio. Greg, you were talking about the practice, how it wasn't your conventional practice today. The practice report showing that Delanie Walker, the tight end, coming off the concussion from Monday night, was a quote-unquote full practice participant. Now that you say what you say, you put that kind of in air quotes at best. What do you think about his status for Sunday? Do you think he plays at the link Sunday?
Well, we had an opportunity to talk with Delanie for the first time. They wouldn't let him speak last week because he was in the concussion protocol. He didn't obviously speak Monday night, didn't speak yesterday when we were able to meet with the media or meet with the players, but he did today. And he went into detail about the incident, the hit, and how he got hurt. He feels like he's going to play. He feels like he could have played on Monday night, but said that the team made the decision not to play him because they felt like he recovered too quickly from the concussion symptoms, and they were worried about it maybe being a false positive, so to speak. He was scheduled to meet with a non-team related or affiliated doctor on Sunday. They canceled that and decided they would go ahead and hold him out Monday, so he's going to have that appointment with the neurologist tomorrow to talk with them and get to an official diagnosis and clearance. Of course, I think they will do it again on Saturday if he doesn't clear tomorrow, to give him the best chance, you know, to see if he will be able to go, because certainly he is a valuable part of this offense and a little bit of a safety net for Zach Mettenberger. But he talked in detail about that today, and he said that he feels fine. He had a little bit of a headache for a couple of days, but all that's gone, and he's having no symptoms. And he ran around at practice today like he looked 100%.
I don't know. That's interesting.
That doesn't sound very positive to me that he would be making, with so many appointments coming in there late. I don't know.
I mean, it's very interesting to me. I'm sorry to interrupt you, Greg. I didn't mean to. But
no problem.
Very interesting to me that the medical staff is erring on the side of caution here. You don't seem to see that in this day and age in the NFL either.
Well, Walker commented about that today when we were talking with him. He said, you know, I've only got one brain, so I'm going to be cautious with this because when I'm done with this game, I want to be able to recognize my wife and kids.
Well, God bless
you. Yeah, he's taking this very seriously. He said this was his fourth concussion that he's had since he's been playing football, but obviously this was the most severe because he admitted that he was out cold. He doesn't know how long he was unconscious. He said he started to turn around. He heard a loud pop, and everything went dark, and then he woke up, a couple minutes. He said that the team doctors told him he was out about a minute and a half or 2 minutes before he regained consciousness, and said that once he was on the sideline and realized what happened, then he got a little scared, but it happened so quickly that he was unable to be scared or even know what was going on because he was just out that quick and doesn't think that it occurred from hitting the ground. He thinks it was from the collision and perhaps the snapping of the neck when he went backwards, but not the ground.
Yep. Wow, that's scary stuff. I just can't speak enough to the fact that they can't be cautious enough.
Exactly.
Absolutely. So give us kind of the outline for the way you see things going down on Sunday with your team coming up to Philadelphia to wage war against the Philadelphia team that is really ticked off. I'm thinking of the movie Network. I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore. That's the mentality Philadelphia is probably going to be coming in with at the link on Sunday. What are your thoughts on how it all goes down?
Well, we certainly saw that same mentality on Monday night from Pittsburgh, having just lost to the Jets. I think the Titans can come in and play a good ball game. Now, will they? I don't know. That's a different story. They have some potential to do that, but I just don't know how they're going to handle that hurry-up offense with the pace, because that's certainly not something that you see a lot in the NFL, and certainly the Titans haven't seen it. And in speaking with some of the players, especially some of the older guys, didn't see a whole lot of it back when they were in college. Some of the younger guys have seen it, but in the college days, certainly different than what Chip Kelly's going to do with an NFL roster. So I don't know exactly how they're going to go about it. I think they're going to probably come in and want to run the football, though. You know, they've struggled to get anything going on the ground, so I think it's probably going to wind up on Zach Mettenberger's shoulders to be able to do a little bit of what he did against Pittsburgh. And the question is, you know, can he do that? I think he's poised enough to do it. Certainly the crowd won't be a factor. Having played in the SEC in 100,000-seat stadiums, he's been in front of big crowds before and noise and those kind of things, so I don't think that will bother him. But I think the Eagles' defense will bother him a whole lot more than those SEC defenses did.
Yeah, really.
Yep.
Yeah, very much so. Greg, tell us a little bit about what you're doing with TitanRedZone.com and your radio show on Sunday morning, if you would, please.
Well, Titan Red Zone, of course, is on the Scout.com network, and I'm a guy that just loves sports and has been in media for several years here in the Middle Tennessee area, covered Predators and pretty much anything that goes on Vanderbilt. And by the way, had a good time today talking with Jordan Matthews on the conference call. He's a guy that most of us in the media here had an opportunity to cover at one point or other at Vanderbilt, and you guys got a good one with him, so I'll say that. The site, it's like you guys' site there in Philadelphia on the Scout Network. We do our best to cover the Titans. I'm at practice every day and games and things of that nature, so just enjoy doing that. But as far as the radio show, it's a Titan-specific show. It's called Pro Football Scope on the ESPN affiliate, 102.5 The Game here in Nashville. It's on from Sunday mornings from 6 to 8 Central Time, so 7 to 9 your guys' time up there in the East. And we just have fun. We get on Sunday morning. We talk about the upcoming opponent. We have guests on from that team, interviews with the players. We don't usually get live player interviews because it's so early and it's on a game day, but certainly a lot of stuff that we record at practice. And it's just a love of sports, and you guys know what that is to be involved in it. We're lucky to be able to do what we do and get paid for it.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. And again, I think.
Are you still covering the Predators there, Greg?
I do occasionally. I do some things for Sports Exchange with the Predators, but that's usually just to fill in when other people are unavailable to do it. I've done some Memphis Grizzlies at times for different organizations here. I've been to UT and done some stuff up in Knoxville on that. So just pretty much anything that I can do sports related that I will do. It's just a love, as I said, of sports, and being a single guy, I have time and availability to do that. And like I said, I'm just lucky. I'm blessed, and I just love the people that I've had the opportunity to meet and talking sports like I am with you guys now.
Well, I'm just
so
making
you
notes. I'm just making
you
notes.
You ladies in the
Mid-South,
he's available. Okay.
Well, that wasn't a plug for a date. But
no. I'm trying to help a brother out. That's all.
There you go.
Well, maybe ahead, I was hoping I could get him on my NHL show. That's all I was thinking of there, too.
Oh, yeah.
I can come on and talk. I don't cover them regularly, but, you know, I certainly watch, and I do know our station, 102.5, is the home for the Predators here. It's the flagship station.
Oh, there you go.
And, our guys are the ones that do the radio, so I certainly know and have a lot of insight into the Predators, and those guys are doing well. If we can get the Titans to match or even get close to what the Predators are doing right now, this town would be happy.
Yep, I bet. The Predators are the number one draw in Nashville, aren't they, right now?
Oh, certainly, and they have been, but, you know, it's a different kind of atmosphere over there. There's only 17,000 seats, roughly, in the Bridgestone Arena compared to 68 at LP Field. But the Predators have always drawn well, and they just do such a great job of doing things to be entertaining. They have a live band stage, and they have a lot of different acts. Certainly with the country music here in Nashville, there's various artists. Vince Gill is a regular that performs during the intermissions at games, and they just do a lot of things that the NFL can't do as far as the fan experience to help it out. So they do a great job of that, and we're certainly excited to have them and happy to see what they're doing this year.
Well, we'll have NHL program kicking up here on the radio network shortly.
Sounds good.
a friend of mine, I'll drop the name Steve Bryant, who used to be on QVC. He lived down in Nashville for about a decade, right as the Predators were starting to really catch fire there with the Bridgestone Arena and everything there. Beautiful venue, beautiful area, and it's just a great story of expansion in the National Hockey League. So it's great stuff. So again, plug your radio show, if for nothing else, for me to cheaply say I'll be joining you on it for a few minutes this Sunday morning to talk a little Titans-Eagles with you.
Pro Football Scope on ESPN radio affiliate here in Nashville, 102.5 The Game. And by the way, you can get that on the internet. If any of your listeners there want to be up and hear you on Sunday morning, they can just go on to 102.5 The Game and click on the Listen Live link, and you'll be able to hear the show from 7 to 9 your time.
Right. Sounds like a winner to me, Greg. A pleasure talking with you, good sir. I will be talking with you Sunday morning, bright and early, and we will be in touch. Thank you for your time.
Sounds good. Thank you for having me on. We look forward to hearing with you, speaking with you again on Sunday.
Thanks,
you
Greg.
You got it, my friend. Take care.
Thank
now.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
That was great. Greg Arias joining us from TitanRedZone.com and 102.5 The Game in Nashville. And again, I'll be joining him, kind of repaying the favor, if you will. Sunday morning, the hit's going to be, I believe, between 8:30 and 8:45 in the morning our time, where we'll be talking Titans-Eagles on Pro Football
We'll
Scope.
Be able to stream that, right? We can stream it, as he said. So
we can stream it, and I do believe I would have permission, I will double-check, to extrapolate the interview and put it up on WarNest.com prior to the start of the game. So
there you go.
A couple different ways you can listen to my voice more than you already want to. We were going to have on the line Justin Henry join us, but his, as we say in the wrestling biz, shoot job got in the way. So we will not be hearing from him or any of his alter egos, Mike Mayock or John Gruden, this week, it appears. I'm very, very disappointed by that. But I am not disappointed to tell you that we have a new segment. Yes, we have a new segment, and it kind of...
Is it sponsors?
Who do you think I am, McShane? That's your... This is your network.
Okay,
I am,
hold on.
But,
I
am but the marionette, you see.
I'm making... I got my Post-it notes out. Get sponsorship for... Okay,
sponsorship for... Well, this one might get us in trouble because we're using somebody else's clip, but that hasn't stopped us in the past. By the way, you're still welcome to call in, 347-826-9964. 347-826-9964. You could be like Elwood from Indianapolis, a Colts fan joining us in. You could be an Eagles fan. You can be a fan of Frat House Mike, too. Not of Sidekick, though. Sidekick, a little leery about that. There you go. It's time for that segment where we question some of the other stories from the week that's been so far. It's what we call... Worldwide Pants Better Not Sue Us. Is this anything, Mike? I'm going to pose to you a story.
Anything.
Is this anything? You see, the premise is I'm going to lay out a story for you that's been making the rounds, as it were, and you are going to tell me, based on your football expertise or just a stab in the dark blindfolded, if this is a story we should concern ourselves with, is this anything in that case, or if it's nothing that big.
Okay.
Does that make sense to you?
Gotcha.
Okay. Well, the first one that comes to mind immediately is the big injury for the Eagles in this week, and that would be Earl Wolf. He has not been productive this season, to say the very least. He's been burned on coverage on a time or two. Well, just yesterday, Tuesday, his season ended abruptly because he was put on season-ending injured reserve. Considering his productivity or lack thereof this season... When it comes to the loss of Earl Wolf, I ask you, Mike McShane. Thank you, Ben.
I don't think so. Now, help me out here because I know that you guys just had an article up over on WarNest just today, I believe, about this. Who's his understudy?
Well, that's a little bit of debate. They picked up a former Eagle, I think a former practice squatter, to be brutally honest. In what was his name? Rock. Rock. Carmichael.
Is this a wrestler?
Rock Carmichael.
It's a wrestler. Okay.
No, not the Rock. No. This is. That's the closest you're going to get to a wrestling reference. I'm proud of you, though. No, Rock spelled R-O-C. As
well,
in,
I know how
the,
you operate.
the short-lived. See, the only Carmichael I know is Hoagie Carmichael. Thank you very much. Okay, that's
oh
you know.
How about Harold?
Hey, I produced Harold a big band Carmichael. Show for 3 years. Back off, okay? Anyway, no, but he it's not definite that he's going to be the guy who replaces him. Obviously, he just signed with the team Tuesday. But you know, what do you make of everything with this? You know, falling apart at the seam secondary.
Look, with all due respect, we've dealt with it all year long.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to be honest with you, I don't think one more thing at this particular time is going to make or break what's going to happen from one game to the next. That's just my personal opinion.
Okay.
Plug the holes. You know, one of the things I wanted to point out earlier on, because we were talking about the whole quarterback situation, and I believe, our buddy from Indianapolis had brought it up. Calm down, about Mark Sanchez. He's not going to be the guy that's going to bring things back. That runs contrary to the Chip Kelly philosophy. Chip Kelly, as you know, Jim, has this concept that he's a plug-and-play guy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Take a guy, put him in, and everything's just going to run seamlessly without any issue whatsoever because that's how we design things. Well, all right. I guess we're going to find out in many cases whether that's the case or not. We're mm-hmm. finding that out with QB. We're finding that out with the running back position, and we've been finding that out all year long with the offensive line, and now we're going to find out about it with the defensive secondary. So, you know, if we don't miss a beat, then it's not anything.
Okay, fair enough. Next question. You may have heard, and we broke it for you during the pregame on Sunday, if you went to warrenest.com for the inactives, Nick Foles made the trip to Lambeau Field and actually did some sprinting with the practice squad. We then learned later on that while he did not practice earlier in the week, this week, he did throw the football around a little bit. So obviously he's been cleared to work out. Coach Kelly has said that already. We don't know exactly what the timetable is on if he's going to return at all this season, but Pandora's box is open. Nick Foles making himself seen and known. I ask you, Michael McShane. We better get paid soon because we're going to be owing royalties. Go ahead.
No, it's not anything. Because look, everything that I know of this particular injury is that it is 6 to 8 weeks. Listen, he can toss a football around all he wants. All right. Why is he out there doing that? Listen, he wants to remind everybody who the guy is in charge. That's what the bottom line is. It's not dissimilar to Mark Sanchez going down to South Philly to Geno's and Pat's last week and doing the old routine because his agent said to him, hey, buddy, make hay while the sun is shining. You better get out there and get some exposure on this one. You just had a great game, and you're getting a payday next year if we can pump this thing up. So,
you know,
the bottom line is he's just trying to remember. He wants to make sure that everybody remembers who the number one guy is.
You know, if he went to Geno's right now, he wouldn't be able to get served. I'm telling you, he would not.
That's,
Geno Vento
not right.
would throw
that's not right.
freedom. Geno Vento would throw some freedom fries upside his butt fumble.
That's just
there you
not
go.
Right. That's
oh,
not.
Oh, it's not right, but it's true. It's damn true. finally, and this one just coming in from the chat room, and it's off tangent, but I figure we have a little time to kill this week. I have to ask this question. We were talking, you made a wrestling reference when we were talking about Rock Carmichael.
Yeah.
And of course, those of you who listen to Frat House Sports and watch the videos of Frat House Sports, we have gotten the impression that you're not really a wrestling fan. From
Never
the chat, Well, somebody begs to differ, and that's Brandon Hain, who says, and I quote, Frat House Mike actually watches WrestleMania every year, and although he won't admit it, he does actually get into it a little. I dare ask you, Mike. Anything to that?
There's nothing to it. Absolutely nothing to that whatsoever. listen, I will not deny that occasionally, perhaps maybe I've had one eye open, just peeking in on, oh, what's on the TV, you know, that sort of thing. I mean, you know how we watch sports here, Jim.
You've
so,
got
I mean,
TV.
It's difficult. Yeah, it's difficult not to be checking in on what's going on, but that's only for want of something better.
All right, let me ask you this. You watched WrestleMania this year. Name one match from WrestleMania.
You know something? I actually couldn't. I really couldn't. None of them. I don't remember. There was one near the end that I think actually got a little bit interesting. Oh, there was one with that guy. He, what's his name? What the hell's his name? Yeah, he looks like death warmed over. What the hell's his name?
Oh, The Undertaker?
Oh, that's it. That's it. I was right on the. I was in the right. But I was in the right church, wrong pew. Yeah, there you go.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, yeah, he looked like death warmed over. He looked like an Undertaker.
Well, that's see, that's why they give him the gimmick and the name.
See, there you go. I just remember him crawling around the canvas. There it is.
You didn't.
Wasn't
even
he crawling
canvas
around
yet
the canvas?
Yeah,
he was crawling around the canvas.
He was making. He was doing his Bob Ross on the canvas.
Oh, it was, and it went far too long. Just far too long.
Far too long. But you're turning into Don Cherry on me here when it comes to wrestling. All you need to do is wear a loud suit and be like, all right, this guy right here.
Next week I will get my daughter to take a picture of me wearing something very loud while we're doing this program, and we will post it up.
Hey, I would pay WrestleMania money to see that. That would be awesome.
And that's
how we play. Sing it with us, ladies and gentlemen.
That was fun. I always love being the butt of jokes. That's correct.
Well,
that's great.
Well, better to be the butt than the. Never mind. We're not going to go there. Now, running down on time here on the program, let's quickly get into this game this week. We talked with Greg. Let's get your feedback on it. Eagles, Titans, what's the key here for Philadelphia? I would think to run the football when you have a chance against the second worst run defense in all of football.
Yeah, you know, but here we go again, Jim. I mean, this is the third week in a row, as I pointed out to Greg. You know, we're going up against the 31st rushing defense in the entire league. And we talked about this with the past two games, and yet there was no run game. So you don't know what the hell to expect. I mean, honestly, I don't know. Yeah, you would think that that's the way you want to go. You know, Greg was saying how, and I pointed that out, he's saying how, well, the secondary is a little bit weak. They're getting a little long in the tooth themselves. But the secondary is ninth against the pass. So that's not shabby. So, you know, I don't know whether long passing is really what we want to be seeing. And listen, we know, as we saw from Sanchez last week, if he's going to have to put the ball up 40 sometimes, guess what? You're going to see a couple of interceptions. We already know this. Keep the ball on the ground if you can. Keep the ball on the ground and get Darren Sproles, for God's sake, in the game. The point spread on this is 11. Jim, I got to be honest with you. You know, ultimately, if I were to pick this one, I think I might have to pick, you know, just based upon the Monday night performance of the Titans, I might have to pick the Titans. But that would be...
From a betting perspective.
Exactly. Yeah. That I would pick the Eagles to win, but I might have to pick the Titans against the spread. Over under 48.5. I'll take the over on that.
I would double down on the over, to be brutally honest.
I'll put the score, and in fact, while I'm saying, I might actually, for our purposes here tonight for the show, I'll put the score at 32-18 Eagles, and that means they do cover. But I think ultimately, when I go in and I put my pool in, I think I might actually go against that.
Okay, fair enough. I think you're on the head on both the accounts and both accords. This is not going to be the blowout that we saw 2 weeks ago, 13 days ago it'll be from Sunday, against the Carolina Panthers, even though on paper Tennessee is a much more inferior team than the Panthers. The difference is the Titans actually have a quarterback who's healthy and can produce. Hey, Cam Newton, how you doing down there? Not well? Yeah, I didn't think so. By the way, that's a whole other mess we should talk about sometime. The NFC South, my gosh. The leader of the division is two games below 500. What the bleep? that.
Well, it's going to hurt a couple of teams who want to go into the playoffs and deserve to be in the playoffs later on.
Oh, absolutely. You're going to be looking at people crying, we want restructuring. We want
you got
restructuring
it.
The playoffs.
You got
it, it happens every few years. Live with it. Just live with it. But getting back to Tennessee versus Philadelphia, I think Philadelphia wins if they get to the magic 30-point total. I'm thinking something along the lines of, honestly, 30-20. I think it's a 10-point differential, and it comes down to a key drive, maybe with about 6-7 minutes left in the fourth quarter to put the game away. One thing we didn't talk about, there are actually two I want to get to quickly.
Go ahead, perfect.
Going back to the loss against Green Bay, and throughout the last few weeks, we've seen with Mark Sanchez at quarterback, maybe Mike's his brother, I don't know. But we've seen the reemergence, actually, because he had a good game earlier in the season with Nick Foles, a quarterback, of Jordan Matthews. Is he primed to be a star in this league, in your estimation? And do you think he's the potential number one wide receiver down the road for this team?
Well, you know, the interesting thing, Jim, it was a year ago we're hearing about Zach Ertz. Beginning of this season, we're hearing about Zach Ertz. Would somebody please tell me where Zach Ertz has been in the past number of weeks? He had himself four receptions, 55 yards, but that was about it the other day. Excuse me. Jordan Matthews certainly does appear, at least in the past couple of weeks, 2 to 3. To be really maturing into the offensive game plan as we know it right now. So, for God's sake, this team's got to get something out of some of their draft picks because we're not getting anything out of anybody else, are we?
Yeah. The other thing I mean, this draft
has been a disaster for the Eagles.
Yeah, it has. It's left much to be desired, no doubt about it.
Yep.
Other thing I want to talk about, I'm going to show a little special teams love here. Cody Parkey has been on fire this year. You know, everybody wondering, Alex Henry, we get rid of him, who wasn't that good, and we get a rookie kicker in. I think he's a Pro Bowl caliber kicker. What do you think?
Very possible. Let's see. NFC? Let me just think real quick. NFC.
I mean, you could.
Yeah, might
I'm not
be the
saying,
best.
Definitely. Yeah, you could make a darn good case. He's only missed a couple this year, and he's pretty good from 50-plus. So he's been a pleasant surprise. He was, like, aside from Matthews, the only, redeeming thing, although he almost slipped and fell a few times on the turf Sunday in Lambeau. Just wanted to give a shout-out to him as well, because that's the kind of guy I am.
His field goals made, he's only missed one, right? 18 of 19 on field goals.
Yeah, and he's been clutch. He's been absolutely clutch, and that's something that this team has been missing the last couple of years with Henry and, of course, hasn't had since the prime of David Akers. And it's those little intangibles when you get to November or December that can help you go to January or cost you from going to January in football. Mm-hmm. So just want to show a little love to the little guy out there. So that's what we do. And that's a show for this week. Mike, as always, thank you. Always a pleasure.
You got it.
We're going to do let me just double check with you. We're going to do the show same time, same day next week, correct?
Yes, we are planning it here. What we're going to do is we will be moving our flagship program, the Frat House Sports Show, to Friday.
Okay.
I was planning on this program for the eve of Thanksgiving, yes.
Okay, just wanted to confirm on that.
Because we got that big game. Listen, we got that big game for the Eagles the next day.
And I will be trying my darndest to line up a guest or two or three, perhaps, to talk about this game because it is going to be it's the
monster.
Biggest Thanksgiving game to hit Dallas in, well, you would know more than I, how many years? It's been years since, yeah.
I believe I do recall the last time the Eagles played in Dallas on Thanksgiving Day, and I want to say it was in the late 80s, might have been early 90s.
I think you're right. And, just from a Dallas perspective, this Thanksgiving game has more meaning than any that I can remember in recent lore. Because more than likely, considering Dallas plays the Giants this week, and the Giants are, both teams on paper should win, Dallas and Philadelphia this weekend. You're playing for the division.
Real quick, I want to just throw out there, with the Eagles missing the opportunity to take advantage of the Dallas being off on a bye last week.
Yes.
That makes that Thursday game even all the more important because,
oh yeah,
you know, all things being equal, we're going to go into that game tied with the same identical records. Had the Eagles been able to take advantage of the fact that the Dallas Cowboys were off on the bye last week and had beaten Green Bay, well, now we were one game ahead. But
they
not
could,
the case.
They could, and I say this in air quotes, afford to have a loss.
Right.
I mean, you can't really ever afford to have a loss in the division, but, you know, the tiebreaker automatically, at least in the interim, would go to Dallas because, you know, they took care of business at home on Thanksgiving, heading into their next meeting a couple of weeks later. So everything's relative. But we'll talk about Dallas next week. We want to make sure we get past Tennessee this week. Don't take anybody lightly. I've learned that many, many times. By the way, knock on wood, I am taking Philadelphia in the Survivor Pool this week. Taking the Eagles. I am one of 580 people left in the 94 WIP Survivor Pool.
Congratulations, my friend. That is outstanding stuff.
580 out of 20,000, but I also have to pick the Monday nighter. They put a roadblock game up. Baltimore, New Orleans, that's a tough call. That's a tough call to me. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. I'll keep you updated if I'm begrudging and I sound like a... If I sound like I'm drunk on early turkey gravy Wednesday night, you'll know I've lost. So that's worth noting. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. Our thanks to Greg Arias. He actually emailed me just afterwards. And no, you did not talk too long, Greg. You did a great job. You were a great guest. And I can't wait to talk with you again Sunday morning on your station. 102.5 The Game. Google it. They're out of Nashville. I'll be on there from 8:30 to 8:45, but listen for 2 hours anyway from 7 to 9. He'll talk Titans. He'll give you the behind enemy lines take at things. That's going to be kind of worthwhile and noteworthy, I think. Our thanks also to Elwood, who called in from Indianapolis. He was a hoot. Love to have him back on a future show as well. For Frat House Mike, I'm not in a frat house, but my name is Jim. We will join you next Wednesday night, 7 o'clock Eastern, on the Thanksgiving Eve Cornucopia Edition of Inside the War Nest, presented by WarNest.com, Scout.com, and Frat House Sports. Go Eagles! Slay the Titans! And remember the Titans. Remember to beat the Titans. We'll see you next week. So long, everybody. Thanks for listening.